is the Daysayer Update for January 29th, 2017. I'm Filippo DiNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
Brandon Park.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Revicorio.
And yeah, sometimes news happens, and sometimes we get weeks like this where we're struggling to find stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of one of those more philosophical shows, I think, this week. Because not a whole hell of a lot going on.
Philosophical translated into English means we're basically going to be bullshitting for about an hour and a half.
We're going to be mumbling about the news, and then we've got the Evo lineup on the show here.
Yeah.
Which, if it had been for that, I would have been sorely tempted to sit this one out,
yeah.
To be completely honest.
Yeah, we're recovering from Japan taking a shit on us last week with RE7, Yakuza. There's like two other games, Tales of Berseria. And one other, I forget.
Yeah.
It's like they just decided to go all in on that week.
Yeah. And from what I'm hearing, Resident Evil 7 is actually good.
Oh, yep. It is.
I was watching a good friend of mine streaming it last night while I was writing what I'm hoping is some of the finishing touches on the Garo Mark of the Wolves review.
Sweet.
Yeah, I just noped on even thinking about doing it in VR.
Yeah, I've been watching. Yeah.
Well, you saw the Penny Arcade comic, right?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I'm going to pull that up for you. Just it should be mandatory viewing for just about anyone.
I've actually been watching the Game Grumps have been doing their playthrough of Resident Evil 7 on VR. And it's Aaron Hansen. He's got the VR headset on, and basically Dan Abadan has basically just been torturing him the whole time.
Yeah.
By just sneaking up and basically poking him in the side with the cheek.
That's just cruel and unusual punishment.
And then hearing Aaron scream like a little girl.
Yeah. So
it's not bad enough you're playing RE7. You got to have somebody just screwing with you at the same time.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm saying, Danrib, is that if you do end up buying it and playing it in VR, I demand a stream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be...
No, I mean, that game would undoubtedly revive my VR, but I don't know if I want to spend 60 bucks for that kind of thrill.
Well, you'll never be the same again, that's for sure.
No, just make sure you have a tarp down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this seems pretty accurate.
And speaking of continuity, or speaking of tarps, I thought they bought a tarp for this very reason.
Yeah. So,
and sort of speaking of PSVR, I saw that Dead or Alive Extreme 3 got its PSVR support, and if you look it up on Twitter, it's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah.
Complete with the videos up there.
Because Japan.
And you know what? They're going to come in under budget on everything for the next 5 years because of that.
Yep. Sometimes you gotta wonder about Team Ninja. They can make some really good games. I mean, they got Neo coming out in the next couple of weeks. And then they do stuff like DOA Extreme 3, whose time basically has passed.
They know their audience.
Yeah. Well, whatevs. But yeah, we'll get to more of the rambling in a bit, but I guess we'll touch on what we've been up to this week. Me, not a whole heck of a lot. Same thing as usual, Diablo 3, Defense Grid 2, so not going to go into much detail there. The Xbox preview, on the other hand, is something worth mentioning. And we got a story about it in the lineup, but we might as well talk about it now. Apparently I'm the only one on the staff who actually got into this, which is weird.
I didn't try.
I didn't get any sort of update notice that I was in it.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything different last time I started up.
Yeah. I got the update last week. I've been putzing around with it. They're doing some very interesting changes. One of the first things that you'll notice when you get the update is the live preview of whatever you're doing is gone.
It's like they just changed it.
No, it's
instead
gone.
Of it being like a big banner thing, it looks like it's just putting more of that side stuff on there.
Yeah, the live preview is gone completely. Yeah, I can confirm that. So, but
yeah, me and my Xbox One are not in talking terms. she's like, She's like, oh, I have Lost Odyssey. I'm like, oh, what else do you have? we had a big argument about Skillbound, and it didn't go well. So.
Yeah.
Again, I apologize. I killed Scalebound.
Yep. Brandon's fault.
But, yeah, I didn't try to get in on that. I look at the Xbox preview program as if you're selected, you get to load the preview build onto your Xbox One and check out a couple of really cool new features that are coming to the system in exchange for your system becoming extremely freezy and crashy for the next few weeks. And I just I've decided against paying the price for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they're changing how that preview works now. So one of the things that they're doing is instead of just being a regular preview ring, they're now actually having four rings. So there's an alpha ring, which basically gets all the updates really, really quickly and is the really unstable one. There's going to be the beta ring, which is a little bit more controlled. Then there's going to be what's basically equivalent to fast ring on the Windows Insider program, which is basically the builds that they think are most ready for
release candidates.
Release candidates, but they're still pretty quick. And then there's going to be the slow ring, which is, well, that, but just the ones that have been found to be really stable.
You might as well have just waited for the actual fucking release version.
No, not really. They're still fast. Okay. They're still faster than what than the release versions. But yeah, it's just the ones that have been confirmed to not break your system completely. At the moment, I'm just in the regular ring because those four selections haven't rolled out yet, and I'm not even sure if the alpha ring is going to be something you can select. It might be something you're chosen for, and maybe then you get the option, but. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be something they'd want to be careful with.
Yeah, you probably want to keep
If you get a lot of people in that alpha ring and you have the right build, just carpet bomb the player base.
Yeah. One thing I'll say, though, that one of my biggest complaints about the Xbox One has always been how slow it is to get around and do stuff, especially when you have a game running and you try to bring up the home screen and all that good stuff. You know what happens. Like you go home and then you see the screen redrawing. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly that.
You press it and then maybe 3 seconds later it goes to the home menu.
Yeah, and of course you have to press it twice if you want the guide. So sometimes one of those presses won't register and you go home instead of actually opening the guide. Yeah, that's always fun. That's changed now. They've actually changed the behavior of the Xbox button. So it's now single press brings up the guide, and there's no shortcut to go home. You have to press the guide and then double tap A, and you go home.
It's like a brawler here where you got double tap buttons to get around.
Well, it sounds weird, but when you actually start to use it, it makes a lot of sense. The nice thing is that all of your recent stuff is there on the guide. So if you want to switch tasks, it's a lot easier to do now.
Okay.
Yeah, you have your pins are also available through the guide, so you can go there. Player controls, if you're listening to music in the background, those are now on the guide. So yeah, they're doing a lot to kind of make things more streamlined, more performant, as Mike Ibarra likes to say. It's
getting rid of the snap.
Yeah, I did notice that. Snap is gone.
That's actually where all of this new RAM is coming from to make everything run smoother.
Yeah. But instead of snap, though, they're doing overlay. So yeah.
So it's pop-ups.
Yeah.
So you can have like Xbox achievement stuff. Just sitting on. So imagine you can put it on different corners of the screen.
Yeah, I think that's something that's coming because right now it's at the right. So.
Oh. Yeah. I hope you don't have any important. You don't have anything
important on the right because you ain't gonna see it. Yeah, but
Cortana is mentioned here as being enhanced. I just have the original voice stuff because it actually works.
Cortana is interesting. I've not actually had her do anything useful yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It says you can set reminders and alarms, I guess.
Yeah, you could do that when she works. Most of the time she says, I can't connect, please try later. And she does it in a British accent for some reason. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm in Canada and they think we're still British. I don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah, overall, I guess they're also changing how the updates are happening, the system updates.
Yeah.
So it's more clear about what's going on.
Yeah, there's a new update screen now. So you get three checkboxes that have to go through. There's downloading, a verifying, and then an installing phase, which is good because a lot of the times on Xbox updates, it would get to like around 90% and then it would look like it's completely stalled.
Oh, like Windows?
Yeah, just like that.
Or you get that infinite bar.
Just moving around for no apparent reason. Yeah. That's changed now. So
they got more accessibility options.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New co-pilot feature. I guess allows two controllers to play as one.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to try that out yet, but it could be useful.
Seems good for kids or disabled people.
Yeah. 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 I did use the magnifier features a lot. Actually, they do that better than Sony does. Because when you zoom the screen in on the PlayStation 4, the screen is live, but you have no control over what's going on, which is annoying. On the Xbox One, when you zoom in, you have zoom levels, so you can zoom in and out as you want. But most of your controls still work, so you can still navigate menus and stuff. I wouldn't recommend playing a game zoomed in like that, but hey, it's nice that you probably could if your game doesn't require the B or LR buttons at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this mentions new audio output stuff.
Apparently.
Dolby Atmos.
Yep.
For home theater, for headphones, and Windows HRTF support.
Yep. Yeah, high-res stuff.
Blu-ray player bitstream pass-through beta.
Yep.
So some more media stuff.
Yeah, stuff that makes sense. They still don't have HDMI CEC, which is really annoying. Hopefully they'll get that sooner or later, because I would like my Xbox to be able to actually turn my TV off properly. Not just send an off signal via IR, and then, it may or may not respond to it. Yeah.
I guess Beam support's supposed to be coming later on.
Yeah, I think Beam support's going to be in the update that comes this week.
Windows game mode, Arena, updates Cortana, I guess more.
Yeah.
Updates.
More Cortana stuff. Maybe it'll start to
It's all working. Part of their creators update.
Yeah. Which, if we're looking at the build number of the branch number is 1703. So we're looking at probably a March or late March or maybe early April release for the creators update and the all the Xbox features as well. So
I won't be surprised that's right around GDC or so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah, but on the whole, it's some pretty nice improvements. I mean, there's still some rough edges here and there, but I'm liking where they're going. I don't miss the live preview at all.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
It's a shame it took 3.5 years to get to this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least they
got that. Yeah.
So that was me. How about you, Pat?
Pretty standard stuff. Heaven's Ward, Yakuza 0, still playing toward the review, getting close to wrapping that up. Street Fighter V. There has been some NHL 17. Just kind of on the side. I've talked about this, I think, last week, where if I'm over here on the computer working on something, I'll just be running BGM mode on the TV. It's one of the most pedestrian things in any game I've ever played. I love it. So,
I guess me?
Yeah.
Me go ahead? Okay. Still playing through Witcher 3. Not really much to add to that. It's still just as fun as it was when I played it the last time.
Yep.
Only now I can actually go and do the expansion pack stuff, which I have not gotten up to a good enough level to want to tackle that just yet. Also been back playing Overwatch again. Been a while because I haven't played since they introduced Sombra, and she's a fun character to play.
She is, yeah, especially in that Capture the Flag mode.
Oh yeah. Oh, and she is just one of the she's a great character to play because she really just pisses off anyone that goes up against her. It's fun. Hmm. All right, Chris, what are you doing?
So I've been playing some Overwatch and not really enjoying their CTF event. I've just never been a big fan of CTF in any shooter. Okay. Outside of maybe Metal Gear. It was like a little frog toy that you're going after, and it made weird, stupid noises.
Yeah.
That game was kind of broken enough that made it fun.
Yeah, it could have been done a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Or
it's a lot of matches are, if not stalemating at the end in a draw, or it's like, oh, the other team just gets the one flag that right at the end. It's like, there's not much competition going on here other than just nobody's able to do anything.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just not that fun. And besides that, I picked up Trails of Cold Steel from the new PSN sale.
Oh, yeah.
For $20.
Good deal.
Playing that on Vita. And it's good so far. It seems like they haven't changed much about it from what I played of Trails in the Sky. Other than the fact that it's less strategy RPG, not really much need to move around, which is good. It's real nice that there's actual voice acting here, so it's not just reading text over and over and over and over again.
There are voices in Trails in the Sky, there just weren't many of them.
Yeah.
And when you go back and see who was voicing everyone, you get really surprised.
Yeah. the only thing I wish it had was a sort of auto-advance on the dialogue. Hmm. So to just keep going instead of me just having to hit X to continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so far so good. I'm just about an hour or two in, so just getting my feet wet.
Yeah.
Not really a huge fan of the dungeon stuff. I feel like it's real hard to get a jump on enemies. Because it's the controls, at least on Vita, is basically like you're either running or you're walking incredibly slowly. No, like D-pad or any way of just slow walking around.
You can hold R to run.
Yeah, but they get notified when you're by them.
True.
I like some better stealth options for that.
It gets easier, though.
Yeah.
Eventually, what you'll be able to get where you can actually just not like
just
roll. Yeah, you can get where you can roll behind them.
Okay.
And get them. It takes a little practice, but it becomes second nature eventually.
Okay. Yeah.
Just don't rely on too much because they completely take that little glitch out in Cold Steel 2.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm trying to hit them. Occasion, it's like it'll stun them. It's like, no, that doesn't.
Yeah,
really
you have to hit them from behind. That's when the real.
Yeah, it's
real
like trying
effects.
To hit them to stop them and get around. It's like that's a lot mm-hmm. harder than it should be.
Yeah,
you should be able to just get some sort of advantage more easily. Yeah, good so far. And I definitely see the Persona influence. As soon as I saw it say, "It's March 31st," I'm like, oh, okay, you guys are just going straight for that, huh? yeah, so far so good. How about you, Brent? Danrib.
I got started on Final Fantasy 15 last week.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I didn't start it as early as I should have was because I really wanted to watch the other content that I guess you're supposed to watch. So there's the Brotherhood anime and the Kingsglaive movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Brotherhood anime is actually quite impressive. It's really good.
Yeah.
It gives you more of a background on your party of characters because if I started playing the game and didn't watch them at all, you honestly wouldn't know anything about any of these characters at all. So that's why, like, you've seen some reviews where, oh yeah, the characters are dumb. There's no reason to really enjoy what they do and things like that. So yeah, it gives me a broader appreciation. I wish I didn't have to do it that way, but whatever. Square Enix is going to be Square Enix.
No, I think that's more Nomura being Nomura.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think that's partly just an artifact of when he was in charge of the project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the Kingsglaive movie, while it's artfully done, it's good to look at, but it's also really, really boring compared to the anime. I had to take two attempts to watch it. The first time I fell asleep over three times. Second time I fell asleep once. So
it's more
good.
Spirits Within than the other Final Fantasy VII movie?
Well, Spirits Within is actually interesting the whole way through. This one wasn't.
Okay.
A friend of mine said this is more of a extended
cutscene
introduction to the game. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe extended it was cutscenes that they couldn't finish for the game.
Hmm.
Like, we can't get all this in here.
Except with Aaron Paul as the main character without saying bitch, so...
That's no good.
It's no good. It had Lena Headey, so she was pretty solid. But
Ron Bean is in there, too, isn't he?
Yeah. He dies, too, but yeah. Anyway, so... Final Fantasy XV is actually quite solid so far. I'm enjoying it. The main thing I was worried about was the battle system not really being therapeutic. And honestly... it's about as chill as it gets. The only things you really have to choose are, you know, what weapons you want to use and things like that. But other than that, you can just run around and hold circle and then heal yourself every so often. So, yeah. It's also pretty complex with their version of, I don't know what it's called, the grid, the ascensions.
Hmm.
I've actually spent most of my time running around doing side quests. Because I've heard that there's a lot of grinding, and the side quests are the easiest way to grind without it making it feel like a chore.
Hmm.
You'll want to, because once you get the boss battles are a little bit more complicated than than your standard regular battles, because there's like processes you have to go through, and you know you got to get their weaknesses to expose, and sometimes that means you have to break armor or all kinds of stuff, and it's going to require you to get help from the other guys in the party too.
Yeah, and so far I haven't had any problems with the bosses. I'm on chapter 8, so I don't know how that changes. But I've also been doing like a hell of a lot of more side quests than I probably should be doing. But again, they don't feel like a chore, and they're actually pretty good because it's been a while since I felt this open in an RPG. I know that we have a lot of open world RPGs, but this is probably as far as Final Fantasy goes, like the most freedom I've been given. Even the car rides, which are pretty much paramount to Zelda's sailing, are pretty cool because you have access to various Final Fantasy soundtracks, and I've just been listening to those as I, you know, explore the world. So, yeah, really solid experience. There's also a lot of hilarious product placement here with a Nissin cup noodles, Coleman camping stuff, and American Express. But, you know, there's no way this game profits, so they need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the food looks amazing in that game.
Oh, God.
Yes,
no,
it does.
There's a Reddit and Facebook channel dedicated to FF15's food porn.
Yeah, it's a game you do not want to play on an empty stomach.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's totally Instagram. That's really all it is.
Hmm.
And yeah, I've also been playing Overwatch.
So basically, Ignis is the greatest cook of all time.
Ignis is the greatest cook of all time, and he's probably the best character in the game.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He drives, he cooks, he puts Noctis in his place. And, one thing I forgot
to
mention.
So basically the entire party would be dead if not for him.
Basically, yeah. He literally does everything. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. I mean, like, your strong dude, Gladio, he's totally in love with Cup of Noodles, and he lives on that shit. And, like, he likes it more than college kids. So... yeah. And then one thing I forgot to mention, I'm sure you've heard it elsewhere, but Noctis is really a huge asshole. There's really no reason to like him.
Mm.
But it's actually not a detriment to the game because when you find yourself having to answer certain questions, you really don't know how you should answer. Sometimes I try to encompass the persona of my character, and sometimes it clashes with what I want to do. But with Noctis, I really don't know what to do at all. So it's really funny seeing everyone's reactions with what you do. So, yeah, pretty solid. Not bad for $35. Mm. Anyway, I'm also playing Overwatch. It's the Year of the Rooster event going on right now. With the main thing being, of course, the new skins as well as the Capture the Flag. And as Chris said, it's not really that great.
I like setting off the fireworks in that map.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
That's what I like to do when we're in like scrimmage before it actually gets into the match.
How do you screw up Capture the Flag?
Honestly,
I don't think it fits well for Overwatch.
The reason why I don't like it is that it's too much like the other modes that are already in there. I was hoping the Capture the Flag would be more of a capture potato where you just, you know, grab it and run. Here you have to actually stay at the flag for a number of seconds and then, run away. But then the defense characters are overpowered in this mode. Either that or we don't strategize very well, and I know I don't, but it shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah, this is the bastion heavy mode.
Yeah, I want to say like half the people who play this are half the times this is played, it's tied, and you know, ties aren't fun.
So, the one time where not having much communication doesn't help that mode at all.
People
are kind of playing it like TDM instead of Capture the Flag.
Yeah, and all my friends are dicks, so it doesn't really help. Yeah, other than that, it's a good way to also get another $50 out of me for their stupid loot boxes. Damn you, Blizzard. Sons of bitches. Yeah. And I'm also playing Madden NFL 17 because the Packers are eliminated, so fuck me, right?
You gotta right your wrongs.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And now it's just time to immerse yourself in Sharks hockey.
Mm-hmm. Sharks hockey and Warriors basketball. Mm.
Cool. So, that's it for the week. Yeah. All right, so some games are coming out. This week we got Double Dragon 4. Kind of came out of nowhere, and, well, I'm looking forward to playing it, because we haven't had a Double Dragon sequel that's been worth anything for, I don't know, Neon came out in, like, what, 2009?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Oh, we're talking about Neon? Ugh.
Yeah. Neon's been a while.
Yeah.
And even that, I wasn't terribly...
I don't know if it was that long ago.
Yeah, I think it was 2012 or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah, that wasn't all that long more ago. Like it.
Still. So explain to me, there's a Double Dragon 5, right?
Yeah, there is.
We don't acknowledge that.
Yeah.
No.
They just found a weird hole where they could say, okay, we're going to put this sequel in here. But nobody ever bothered to name a 4.
They're just... straight up
retconning.
They're just straight up discarding it.
Yeah. It's like, nope, that didn't happen. 5 was based on that terrible cartoon series. Yeah. It was a fighting game that was developed by, I believe it was Leland. Came out...
the less known about it, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Came out on the SNES, amazing, the Genesis.
It's amazing how many old school series are like that, where the numbers just jump around for whatever reason. Well, like Monster Boy has that.
Yeah.
Well, 5 was called 5 because on the assumption that Super Double Dragon was the 4th installment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But even in Japan, it still wasn't called 4. But
yeah,
you know, it was still assumed to be 4. If you want to play a Double Dragon 4, there is actually a pirate ROM, which is technically Target Renegade, just renamed. So you could do that, or you could wait for this and play it on, well, tomorrow it comes out. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's got the Double Dragon 2 sprites, and it's looking like it's going to be pretty solid. So we'll wait and I'll let you know how it all turns out. So, yeah, Xbox One we talked about already, so won't be spending time there. Okay, moving on, we got Pillars of Eternity 2 that has been announced.
Yep, and it's doing the
Fig campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Campaign on Fig, it's funded already.
Yep, so it took about 24 hours and then boom.
Yeah. Not a huge surprise, the first one was really good. So, if Obsidian wants to do a sequel, I think there are plenty of people who are willing to throw money at them, and that was proven very quickly. Did they have the same writing staff going in on this one?
I want to say there's been one or two people that have left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forget who. I'm not sure if they mentioned it in there.
Yeah. Because I know that I believe in the first one, Patrick Rothfuss was involved. So.
No, Patrick Rothfuss is actually involved in the. Sure he was at. He was with Torment, tied to Numenera.
Yeah.
Which, for the record, is supposed to be coming out in the next. It's supposed to come out this year. So.
Yeah, so. Yeah, maybe then he'll actually be able to finish the third book in the Killer Chronicles. Hoping. It's getting to be like George R. R. Martin with the freaking, fifth book of. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go there. Still, Pillars of Eternity 2.
Actually, I'm pretty sure you're thinking of the sixth book.
Sixth, yeah. The fifth is already out.
Yeah.
Yeah, old. If you like old style computer RPGs,
isometric.
Yeah.
If you love Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Check out Pillars of Eternity. It's one of those games that usually ends up on sale when Steam sales come out or GOG sales. It's always on sale. So, yeah.
Yep.
Wait for sale, pick it up, or hell, pick it up for full price. It's worth it. Another announcement we got was Dirt 4. Yeah, so Dirt 4 is coming out in June. No excitement whatsoever.
Pretty close to release for them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what Codemasters usually does. They kind of announce their stuff when it's just about ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Your Stage feature that they're touting here, which kind of procedurally generates tracks for you.
Yeah.
Instead of just having set tracks.
Yeah, this will be worth checking out and seeing if it's seeing how it is. The Dirt series, well, the mainline series, I kind of didn't really like too much. I don't know what it is. It's just maybe the fact that the races are just kind of so short. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of substance there. But
yeah,
there are a lot of them. I'll give you that much. But I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like they're pulling a lot from Dirt Rally for this.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want something that's more like the old Colin McRae games, Dirt Rally is the one you want. So, and that just came out.
That's supposed to be getting PSVR support on PS4 at some point this year.
Yeah. Ooh. So that'll be interesting to check out.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, another game that's coming out soon, May 5th, in fact, Prey 2.
Yep.
Yeah. This one looks like it will probably scare the crap out of you.
Yep.
So,
especially when one of the main things is you jab needles in your eye.
Yeah.
To get your upgrades.
Yay.
So yeah, BioShock had you jabbing needles into your arm. Now you have to jab them into your eyes. Okay.
Yep.
Anybody here interested in this one?
Meh.
I am kinda.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Not really.
Yeah, I'll wait till the reviews come out.
Hmm. Yeah, not a whole lot to say there. It's a game that's coming out. Some people will like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on, we got big news from Square Enix and Marvel. They're teaming up to do, they've got a licensing deal, apparently. They're starting out with an Avengers project.
Yeah, this
made
is being
by
head
Crystal
up.
Dynamics.
Yep.
Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal, the Deus Ex people.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I was about to ask which on that. Square Enix. So.
Yeah. It would have to be the North American part of it, I would assume. So,
yeah.
There's that one going on. Hopefully they don't load it down with microtransactions. And this is, Square Enix after all, so.
Yeah.
You don't know how they're going to handle the game.
I love what the sort of scenario that they're suggesting with the teaser.
Hmm.
This sort of idea that, the Avengers have been sort of dead and gone for a long time and you have to kind of reassemble a new group.
Yeah.
Like it almost looks kind of post-apocalyptic in a way. But,
yeah.
Hey, I'm down with that.
Yeah. And it's a good way to, do stuff that you couldn't do in the regular canon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Maybe it's an adventure game and you're playing a character and you have to collect these various, artifacts related to you have to get Captain America's shield, you have to get Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. What kind of game do you think this will actually be?
Hmm.
It's probably going to be an well, they pretty much suggested it's going to be an action adventure. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Along the lines of like Ultimate Alliance or something. More
that's
like
what a lot
Spider-Man?
Of people have suggested, that it might be an Ultimate Alliance type deal. Mm. I'm just hoping we don't end up like that god awful X-Men game that.
Oh well, fuck!
Yeah.
I thought the first X-Men Legends was okay, but then after that it got a little.
No, messy. Legends was great. That's not the one. No, I know the one that he's talking about.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
See, it's so bad we've like blocked out the name of it from our
memories. Oh, just a moment. We got to stick a name on this because that's going to eat at me.
Yeah. It's the one by Silicon Knight.
Oh.
I remember that game because I would see that clearance at Toys R Us. Hmm. Years after it came out for like $30.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing a very good job of clearing things out.
No, not if you're trying to.
X-Men Destiny.
X-Men
yep.
Destiny. Okay.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was no good.
It had so much potential and Dennis Dyack completely screwed it.
Yeah. So.
And he blames Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's his fault.
It's his fault, really. Yeah.
Yeah, they say they got more games to announce from this partnership next year, 2018. So they're going to be taking a break.
Yeah. Well, we got the Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale coming out this summer, so we're not going to be starving for Marvel games.
Oh, I mean, like, this is a big announcement, but I didn't really find it really extraordinary. I mean, Square Enix is already working with Disney on Kingdom Hearts, so why would this be anything that much different? If Marvel or Star Wars were involved in Kingdom Hearts, yeah, I'd be jumping for joy, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's might
hopefully
be
it goes
setting
better
it
than
up
Kingdom
for
Hearts.
It.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it could have been Final Fantasy 16. It could have been the Final Fantasy 30th anniversary stuff. It could have been the next Tokyo RPG Factory titles. I mean, there were a lot of things that would have gotten me a lot more excited than this.
Yeah. Still,
yeah, they got plenty of time for that.
Yeah, yeah. The year just started, so we're getting going here.
Yep.
All right, moving on to the story that Chris is probably looking forward to. Hitman is adding a professional difficulty, so you can make it even harder.
Yeah, this essentially doubles the content in the game. So once you reach mastery of level 20 on any of the maps, you open up professional difficulty. And essentially it's tweaks mechanics, gives you unique rewards, and changes the AI so that they're not as dumb and silly as they are in the main difficulty, which is a big deal because they're adding this right before the physical release comes out.
Yeah.
So this will be a whole new thing to keep those of us that have been playing it for the last year give us some more stuff to do.
There's supposed to be also a bonus episode coming out.
Yeah, it's a new like spin-off thing.
Yeah. So
I guess probably hitting around the same time.
Yeah. So yeah, Dan, this is one of the sides of Square Enix that I actually like how they're doing things. They're keeping the game going, keeping interest alive. It's kind of strange how they actually released all this stuff. It's like just kind of release it as it's done.
Yeah, so. But it's kept it in people's minds for the last year.
Yep.
And just build up as it goes along.
Yeah. Yeah, one advantage of doing it this way is, all the maps that they have released have been, you know, very detailed. There's been a lot to do in those maps. And it all makes sense in the context of Hitman. But, you know, it's a well done game. So.
Yep. Hopefully sets some new standards for the idea of what episodic gaming can be.
Yeah.
Especially for non-adventure games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they handle like the Final Fantasy VII remake in the same kind of way that they do Hitman, then it's not too bad of a thing. Unfortunately, I think that game's going to have other problems, but we won't know of that until it actually comes out.
I mean, the main thing is that what they're doing is working, so can't argue against that.
Yeah, true. So, all right, moving on. We got another Kickstarter game to talk about. This one's Francis Ford Coppola is doing a Apocalypse Now psychological horror RPG type thing. Apparently, this is a little bit too high concept for a lot of people because this Kickstarter has stalled completely.
Yep.
And it's interesting, just the people they've got working on this. They say they've got a bunch of veterans working on it, as well as people that worked on with Francis Ford Coppola's company.
Yeah.
They're sort of partnering with them. They mention, trying to see where they got these people at. Josh Sawyer is on the consultant team. Fergus, who's also working on Pillars of Eternity 2. So I got some others on there. And yeah, they're kind of talking about it following the original movie's plot to a degree, but you can also make choices that goes away from it.
Yeah.
And definitely seems like a good place to have sort of the horror element to it, where capitalizing on the things that happened in Vietnam, especially in that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's kind of hurting them here is that they're really not showing anything.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the game has been apparently in development and concepting for the past 8 years, and all they have is kind of what looks like a pre-rendered trailer.
And this is the first stage,
get off the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're essentially asking for 100,000, then they're going to keep it going after the Kickstarter is done to try to raise an additional 5 million.
This isn't happening.
Yeah.
Kickstartering wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is not happening. I know Coppola is a big name, and he could probably afford to fund this on his own if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think Kickstarter fatigue is something that people have now. And, if you're going to fund a game on Kickstarter, it's not new anymore, and you really have to show people what they're actually going to be getting now. It's not, you can't get away with names and concepts anymore. You really got to show or go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, if this doesn't get funded, well, just pick up the Blu-ray and watch that. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Or you can play the other video game equivalent, which is Spec Ops The Line. Yeah,
good points. Point out, Greg Kasavin worked on that.
Yep.
All right, moving on. I think a couple of years ago this happened. Avalanche Software over up in Salt Lake City was shuttered by Disney. Now it's being unshuttered.
Yeah, they got shut down last year when Disney essentially said, we're done with Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
And Warner Brothers picked them up to work on a Disney game. Cars 3.
And this includes some people that I actually know. The Salt Lake game dev scene has just been cursed over the years. A lot of these people were also involved with Sensory Sweep. Mm-hmm. So, it's good to see them back into work, and hopefully it, stays that way this time.
Mm.
Yeah, especially for a studio that's been around for over 20 years at this point.
Various forms, yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah, but they're going to be, they stopped working on Disney games, and now they're working on Disney games, although indirectly.
It's like, how does that even happen?
Well, because Disney realizes they don't have to pay for all of development for this. They can just license it out and let other people take all the risk.
Yeah. Cars 3, though. I mean, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Movie tie-ins.
They got work.
Yeah.
I'd be really skeptical with this project if I were them, just because one of their people, I'm not sure if he's still there now, but he was coming up to Logan for some fighting game tournaments that I was running years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And you got him started on EA, who guess which studio got fucked over on Road Rash 64?
Yeah.
The tune of 7 figures.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yay.
So this just sounds like a very similar kind of situation, and hopefully they're mindful of that.
Yeah. Well, if it helps them pay the bills, then so much the better, I guess.
Yep. Yeah. I'm happy for them.
Yeah. So. All right. Now, this looks completely crazy. We know the guy, the Surgeon Simulator guy, is boss of studios. They're nuts. Completely and certifiably insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And now they're doing a multiplayer skateboarding game, which looks insane.
Yeah, it looks like skateboarding Splatoon.
Yeah.
Because you do tricks along these maps, and when you land them, paint is sprayed all around you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess you're by the end, you're trying to have the most paint.
Yeah, you're trying to color the maps as much as you can, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the same thing about this that I said about Splatoon. Hmm. This is not the work of sobriety.
No.
No.
And it's so much the better.
Remember, this is the same studio that came out with I Am Bread.
Yeah.
Yep. You control bread.
You, yeah.
A piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to become toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting this email for this thing, and they promised it's their best controlling game. Boston Studios have a new game with genuinely responsive controls.
because that was a problem.
I genuinely want this game to take off.
Oh yeah,
I can see what they're saying about the controls because that's the feeling I get looking at this trailer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, because
it looks like you're playing human skateboards.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just getting rid of the people on the skateboards.
Yeah,
but they got a lot of weird designs.
Really like weird designs.
Yeah. Yeah, we should point out the game's called Deck Splash.
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm.
And it was like a hot dog skateboard.
Hmm.
There's a cop with ladies' underwear on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the studio.
To be fair, I think that's been put on a skateboard sometime before.
Yeah, probably.
It's just...
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But we have to remember this is the studio that did several... game jam ideas based on Stuart Ashen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, make of that what you will. But this looks cool. I will play it. You can sign up for the alpha if you want to get in on it, because everybody's doing that. So, yeah, give it a shot. Looks like something that will be worth keeping an eye on.
Everybody's don't know doing what that those... because they don't want to launch like asshole.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is they're smoking, but I want some of it.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on.
Where is Bossa based out of?
They're in the UK.
Ah.
Yeah. Finally. I guess we can lump these next two items together, kind of, because they go together. We got more Nintendo Switch launch lineup news. A bunch of, indie titles. World of Goo, Little Inferno, and Human Resource Management. Human Resource Machine. Will now be Switch launch titles.
Yep, Tomorrow Corporation's put their full support behind the Switch, which is good to see.
Yeah. So those are going to be downloadable on launch day, so you actually have something to play.
Yep.
Along with that, Square Enix also confirmed that I Am Setsuna is a launch title.
Now, I didn't really put a whole lot of thought into this before. I'm happy that it's there because it's, more RPGs for a system that already looks like it's going to be an RPG juggernaut.
Yeah.
But if this gets a physical release on the Switch, that's a coup for Nintendo.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just digital.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well.
That would be a shame.
Mm. They're adding a new mode.
If it was physical, you could get the whole sense of ownership crap. People like me who really want to own the games that they buy. And
yeah, Square Enix isn't into that on at least this title.
Yeah,
they're adding a new mode called Temporal Battle Arena where you can play against other players' parties. That's like their bonus thing.
I was going to buy it again anyway, but... If it was physical, which it's not, unfortunately, I would have bought it full price.
Yeah.
I might have even gone to 60 for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's the kind of game you want on your shelf.
Yeah.
You want to have this game.
Yeah.
Well, there's at least a portable version of this in the West because they passed on Vita.
Yeah. Frankly, I think the Switch is probably a better system for this kind, for this game. So.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, especially
bigger screen.
With what Pat said, it's going to be an RPG machine. So.
Yeah. I mean, what have we got already? We got this. We've got Xenoblade Chronicles 2. We've got Project Octopath Traveler.
Fire Emblem.
Eventually, Fire Emblem's coming.
There's a Shin Megami Tensei game coming.
Yep.
And that's just the stuff we know about.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I wonder though why they couldn't just announce these indie titles for launch at the beginning.
Because Nintendo.
My guess would be because we still don't know how the online works. I mean, they still haven't even called it the eShop yet, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Currently, I think the online doesn't work at all, which is probably why they're not really talking about it and why they're not charging for it initially.
Yeah.
I think Nintendo has a pathological opposition to giving people what they want the way they want it.
Yeah, they're kind of like Apple that way, aren't they?
I think it's they think they can just trickle out details and people will be eating up every single thing like it's a Smash Brothers game.
Yeah, they're not,
except with consoles, so you want to know as much detail as you can.
Yeah.
At the announcement.
Yeah, especially if you're going to be pre-ordering. Yeah, you want to know
especially
if you should or not.
2 months out.
Yeah.
You should give them as much info and reason to put down money right away.
Yeah.
Yep.
As they can.
Good. Still, it's a good sign for the Switch, even, you know, if it's still, if it relies too much on those gimmicks, I think they're going to have problems. But if they just let developers ignore them if they want to, then, you know, could be pretty good. The fact that you're going to have what amounts to basically a 6.4-inch screen that you can take into the bathroom with you is probably a good thing.
Yeah,
the Wii U couldn't do that.
No,
just
didn't have the range.
When you find out somebody's doing that, don't play with their Joy-Cons.
No,
just their flag.
Just buy your own. You're better off. Okay, well, I guess we'll get to the philosophical portion of the show then. So, yeah, is the PlayStation Store going down the shitter? I cited a couple of examples here. First, we have...
Oh, this was you.
Yeah. Life of Black Tiger.
Yeah, that thing just... The headline I've heard is, has PlayStation gone completely insane?
This was an Android game that you could get for free on the Play Store right now. They're charging $10 for this thing.
Yep.
Jesus.
What? I mean, okay. I don't know if it comes through how incredibly bad this game looks on the PS4. But yeah, this is pretty horrible. The animations suck.
It's an Android game, so it probably doesn't play that great either.
No. It's like the tiger can move in like 8 directions, and there's like no transitional animation between any of the directions, so it just kind of snaps in that direction.
No turning frames.
No turning frames whatsoever.
So we're on 32-bit right out of the box.
Yep.
There's that. What else have we got? Oh, yeah. There's a multiplayer mode that doesn't work at all.
I like that when you kill enemies, their body just goes stiff and just falls.
Yeah, it just falls over.
32-bit.
Shows them killing like a bunch of enemies around him. They just all turn into like plastic figures that fall to the floor.
Yeah. And they want $10 for this.
I mean, they can ask for whatever they want.
Who's they? This can't be Sony themselves.
No, this is
developer.
This is some developer. And I'm wondering, basically what I'm wondering is, what the hell happened to quality control?
I think it's what you get when you try to let more people in. You're going to get bad games.
Yeah.
They're going down the Steam road, and that's going to carry some of the bad with the good.
Yeah.
Just making the games is enough of a barrier that there should be.
Yeah.
Generally.
As long as we're not getting RPG Maker games by the dozens.
Yeah.
Like Steam, I think we're going to be
now.
Okay.
Which brings me to...
Present company accepted, I hope.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This might sound uncharacteristically positive for me. but I don't think you can really judge the service by the shovelware content that's on it, because you just look at the good things, you count up the good things, because the shit that's on the side does not degrade the good shit at all.
Yeah.
No, there's
It
that,
just.
yeah.
So I don't know.
And it's not like
It's a
lesser
growing
curation
pain.
is going to result in more bad games. Like we had tons of bad games on the Atari and on NES, Super Nintendo,
Oh yeah.
PS2, PS3, GameCube. Every console gets tons of bad games.
Yeah, well, I
For whatever
mean,
reason, I've been seeing the internet just freaking out at this one game. Like somehow this one is the bad game that
yeah.
offends everybody.
Yeah.
Well,
The problem
I
I think with this game is, okay, there are bad games on the PS4, and
Yeah.
there's, but there really isn't anything on the PS. There usually is a level of bad, and this just goes way below that.
I don't know, you should see some of the Wii U stuff I bought.
Well, yeah, well, okay. Then I have to talk about the next one here, which is Skylight Free Range 2, which is a game nobody's ever heard of.
I've
I
heard
can't
of
even
it.
glean what it is from the name.
It's an RPG.
Yeah, it's an RPG, which isn't helping it because the sequel is coming out, is out on the PlayStation Network right now.
Yeah, I saw the Vita version when that came out.
And you can jump right into it and have no idea what's going on.
I'll read the description. This is amazing. Skylight Free Range 2, Gachduin, Gachduin,
Gachduin.
is an open world RPG that takes place in the Canadian Maritimes in 2048. As a group called the quote unquote Cult of the Symbiote attempts to use both public opinion and a powerful biotechnology for control over the provinces, your shadow group, the Gachduin, must make choices that impact how the conflicts will come to an end. I'm not sure what the hell happened in that sentence or two.
Nope. Now, to be fair, there's a concept of, there's a grain of, what am I trying to say?
Oh, takes place in Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, the Avalon Peninsula.
Yeah, I'm looking at
This is
trailer.
about
This
your
game
homeland, Phil.
It
You should be proud of this.
looks nothing. It looks nothing like Canada. I should point that out right now.
Yeah, this game looks like ass.
Stylistically, okay, it's got problems.
There's a giant naked man.
Yeah, there's a giant naked man for
There
some
aren't those in
reason.
Canada. You don't have naked giants up there. You're not
We
hiding them from us.
try not to talk about them. But
There's like a colony somewhere in Newfoundland. They live out in the swamp.
This is like Game of Thrones. It's behind the wall. Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. This, I think, is a good example of a developer who's like probably in a little over his head.
Yeah.
He's got a concept here that's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I think his execution maybe is a little on the lacking side.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now
You know,
that's
everybody
available on
starts from
PS4.
somewhere.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, but
I want
now
to say
this
I've
is on.
seen the guys behind Cosmic Star Heroine showed off what their first game was when they released it on the Xbox Live indie game stuff. And it was not looking very good. But eventually they grew to the point where they're making stuff like Cosmic Star Heroine, which is
Well,
cool.
for the longest time, I couldn't take them seriously because it looked like all they were capable of making were parodies and deconstructions of the genre, and I have no interest in any of that. So now they're working on something like Cosmic Star Heroine that actually looks like it's taking itself decently seriously, and they've got my attention.
So this is the kind of weird stuff that shows up on the PlayStation Store every now and then. I'm not going to say that it's at the same level of shititude as Steam's store is right now. But it's just something to keep an eye on. I'll point out, Skylight Free Range 2 actually did not get greenlit, but is now on PlayStation. So let's just point that out.
Oof. So it's an exclusive. That's good.
PlayStation exclusive. Awesome. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that. Life of Black Tiger really has no business being on PlayStation. Or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
I mean, I've talked about Dogchild.
Yeah.
Like, it was the game. It's like, that game's bad, but I'm actually kind of glad it's there because it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Regardless of it being bad. Like, we shouldn't get rid of games off of services just because they're not good. Because maybe there's people out there that do like them. As weird as that might be. But also, hopefully those games do well enough those people can make improvement for successive games.
Yeah. No, 'cause I don't see that as happening with this particular game, though.
Maybe not.
Yeah, this is the one of a series. On Android, they've got Life of Black Tiger, Life of Deer, Life of Dog, and there's a bunch of these. And they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah, I bet they're getting ready to shovel every last one of them over to PS4.
Probably.
They're one of those Android developers that makes a million games hoping that one of them takes off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, shovelware. Yay. All right.
Yeah, so. I like looking at these URLs. It's like Game Wolf 1, Game Leopard, Game Robit, ROBT, Game Bus, Game Cat, Game Tank, Game RC Airplane.
Yep, that's what we're dealing with here.
So. Death Dragon Awakening.
Yay. All right, so what else we got? Well, finally, we got the announcement of what will be this year's EVO 2017 games. So
it's interesting because going in, they said there were only going to be 7 games. Like, for the last month or so, that's what we've believed about it. And then, so I made my predictions based on that. And technically, you know, making an allowance for that, for the fact that they said 7 when they were actually doing 9 games, if the voting on the 9th game goes the right way, we'll be talking about that in a moment. I will have gone 7 for 7 on my selections.
Yeah.
I just feel the need to point that out.
Yeah. So we'll get the elephant out of the way here. 2 of the slots are occupied by Smash games. We've got Melee and Smash U. You contend that the Smash community really should pick one at this point?
At 7 games especially, I thought they would have to choose one, and I would maintain that they would have to if they'd stay at 7 games. At 9, it's a little less offensive, but I still think we're coming up on a situation where the Smash community should probably think about seceding from the union, if you will, because you look at the rest of the brawler genre, you've got Capcom talking about wanting to call games off the bench or call IPs off the bench. Power Stone 3 could be waiting in the wings. So if the Smash community were to break off there and start running their own events, you could get Power Stone in there. Hell, they should be running Power Stone 2 at this point. You know, maybe Falcom could drop another alternative saga. That would be another one for them to include. There's just... It's a genre that is larger than Smash and has been for quite some time. And as the fighting game release calendar gets larger and larger, I just don't think there's going to be room for Smash to have the stage they want to have at EVO for much longer.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how the Smash turnout goes. I think Melee...
Well, it'll do well, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I think Melee is actually starting to draw a little bit less than 4 is at this point. So
yeah.
That just may sort itself out naturally. So
yeah.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see there. The next game on the list is Tekken 7, and we actually got a couple. We got this news along with the release date being June 2nd. So
6 week turnaround between launch and Evo.
Actually, I love this, and I'll tell you why. Oftentimes, when you get well established games in a tournament, you kind of know what you're going to get. There's a level that people are going to be playing at. With a 6 week turnaround for this. I think
competitive
all bets
pool
are
is
off.
Wide open.
Yeah,
I mean you're going to have people coming in from Japan and Korea. They've been going to the arcades and playing this game for 2 years now.
Yeah,
but 90 to 95% of the competitive pool will be newcomers to the game.
Yeah,
and probably really talented newcomers based on just the kind of players Evo pulls in. Yeah. Should we happen to get Marduk in the game's initial roster, I will be considering entering Tekken 7, just because that's what I know. Yeah. I don't know if I'd be as confident entering it if I had to play as, say, Dragunov or King.
Yeah.
But if Marduk is eventually playable, then that would probably be a slam dunk for a game that I would enter.
Yeah.
Another story that I wanted to link to on here but didn't find in time, that Harada was talking on Facebook about the season pass the game is going to have, and he said that original Tekken characters being added to the game are not going to cost anything.
Ooh, that's...
That's tilting the hand a little bit.
Yeah. So what is the season pass going to be then, if not characters?
Well, it might. He didn't say it wasn't going to be characters.
Oh,
he just said you aren't going to pay for original Tekken characters.
Hmm.
Yeah, it mentions here there's 3 content packs, and the season pass includes new playable characters, new stages, a new game mode, costume packs, and a bonus 35-piece metallic costume pack.
Hmm. Okay, I think this one's one of those games I will be buying the season pass for.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm just going to do that. Yeah.
But say if you're getting guest characters or characters like that for free or on the season pass,
yeah,
and then you're also getting a steady flow of original characters from the series, and a sort of time release model.
Yeah.
This is going to be a huge game.
Yeah. I love it if they bring back the kind of time release model, because that was so fun about the when
it is
playing Tekken about in the arcade. You'd go there 1 week and then somebody else appeared, you know?
Yep. They've been doing that in the arcades, and it looks like the way they're talking, it looks like they're getting ready to do something similar for console.
Yeah. So yeah, the Tekken 7 is gonna be one to watch at Evo, just because there's not really going to be anything established. It's going to be, the game's going to be 6 weeks old, and people are not going to be set in their ways. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I really think all this new stuff will really make more people be inclined to watch Evo, just because, you know, it's unpredictable.
Yep. To go along with that, we got BlazBlue Central Fiction. That's kind of well established at this point. It's another BlazBlue game.
It's brand new. It's fresh. It's out of the oven.
So
and this is kind of a make good for BlazBlue stepping aside for Smash a few years ago.
Yeah,
because they had a new game coming at the time, wasn't ready for Evo.
Yeah.
So instead of running their old game that wasn't going to do anything on stream, they stepped aside for Smash, and the Evo guys said there was going to be a make good coming in the future, and it looks like this is it.
Yeah. So that one will be fun to watch. And then Injustice 2. That's
Status Quo.
Well, not really. That's also going to be a new game.
it's a new game, but it was obligatory.
Yeah, like, I suppose.
I don't think they were gonna. I don't think they were gonna pass on it its first year.
Yeah, especially considering it is NetherRealm. They're well established at this point, so yeah, they know what they're doing. So it's not like it's gonna be completely broken or anything. Yeah. So that one will be fun to watch. Then we got Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2, which will also be, well, pretty much just out at that point.
Yep. That's going to be another short turnaround, I think, similar to Tekken 7, but not entirely sure how that's... I didn't catch the date on it, so...
Yeah. Well, all of these are coming out in the first half of the year, so at most you've got 3 months for people to play this. So,
yeah. And luckily it looks like there's only going to be 2 new matchups to learn.
Yeah.
There is that. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I can't find anything on that, but...
yeah. So anyways, then we got King Fighters 14, which, yeah, we were...
Status quo.
Yeah, you were a little upset that this might not actually get on the list when you thought it was limited to 7.
Yeah, this well, turned out they, to be 8. They saved it for last.
Yeah.
I was ready to riot.
Yeah. So, KOF 14 makes it on, and, well, as it should, it's just a fantastic game. We'll probably be looking at version, you know, 1.1, or unless they update it before EVO. And then we got Street Fighter V, which should not be a surprise to anybody. So, yeah, Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
And finally, we got another status quo game.
And we'll see if it breaks more turnout records this year.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes after now that it's had a chance to settle.
Question will be how much of Season 2 will be available for EVO.
Well,
you think they're just going to hotshot one character a month starting next month and have everything out for EVO? And
oh, probably.
They're going to try and stagger it throughout the year.
No, I think they go a character a month.
They got to start talking then.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see there. And finally, we got the ninth game, which is up to a vote.
It's going to be voted on depending on Make-A-Wish Foundation donations.
Yeah.
Yep. And if my silence has been awkward off and on here, it's because I've been looking for the link to include in the show notes.
But on that list are, KI3, Mortal Kombat 10, we got Ultimate Marvel, we got Super Turbo, what else is on there? Dead or Alive is on there. Can't remember what the other ones. There's about 7 or 8 games that could potentially be there.
Well, there was a list of 9.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to... There was some really crazy shit on there, though. There was... Windjammers, Nidhogg.
I don't see those getting picked.
Arms was on there.
Yeah, will definitely not get picked.
No.
Logistically, that's impossible.
Well, both KI and Marvel were up in the 4 figures before the stream even ended.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hopefully KI gets it.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. That game needs a little bit more exposure. I mean, Season 3 is done and dusted at this point. Maybe they'll be doing Season 4. You never know.
They did do that recent fundraiser with Kilgore.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd be funneling some of that money into the voting.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I'd be stacking the deck a little bit, wouldn't it? But hey, that's okay. I should point out that the winning game gets a $10,000 pot bonus, and it will be a main stage game. This won't be a side stage.
Yeah, incentive for people to donate.
Yeah,
promote your game. It really looks like it's down to Marvel and KI at this point, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone came in to get Super Turbo in.
It'd have to be a hell of a donation to get for it to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping for KI. Hopefully it's not Marvel. It's we've seen a lot of Marvel on the main stage already. Yeah.
This would be the different. This would make it the first EVO ever without Marvel.
Yeah.
At least in the EVO era, there were a couple of the B series events that didn't run it, but that was a long time ago.
So that's our EVO lineup as we
cannot find that damn link.
Yeah, SRK posts so much stuff, it's kind of hard to find everything again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really
oh, funny. Wait, never mind, I found it. Yeah. Right in plain sight, no wonder.
Yeah. Okay, so just add that there for reference.
I'm gonna check up on these two.
Yeah.
Okay, all categories. Wait, what?
Meanwhile, I'll just pose the question for our Facebook discussion of the week, which is, how do you like the EVO lineup so far? Any games that you that aren't on there that you'd like to see? And if you're going to go, what are you going to be entering? So, yeah.
I know people have said that Smash Brothers is a little overrepresented.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, you got two Smash Brothers right there. You got Melee and... I guess Smash Brothers for Wii?
Wii U.
Yeah.
I think KI's out.
Oh. That's...
So weird. You got Marvel way out in front with $12,290.
Hmm.
Second place it has $10,225. That's Pokken Tournament.
Well, that would definitely be a really weird, interesting game to watch. Yeah.
KI has not broken into 5,000 yet.
Ooh, that's no good. So it looks like it's going to be Marvel, unless there's a large groundswell of Pokken Tournament support. Yeah.
Marvel.
No, it's got to be Marvel.
They're not going to run EVO without it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So. Yeah. Is this a year you're going?
I am sure going to try.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. If Super Turbo was in, that would just clinch it for me.
Hmm.
But I still think I'm doing well enough in Street Fighter V now, and with Tekken 7 there, you know, I've got to at least make the effort.
Yeah, good.
Let's just say nothing of KOF.
Yeah, KOF's definitely one to that you'd probably want to enter.
Nidhogg is in dead last with $35.
That's just insulting. Although, well, I don't know. I don't know that that's a game I would really consider watching at EVO, to be honest.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat XL not doing much better at $135.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder where that community went.
Probably focusing on Injustice 2.
Yeah, maybe.
Skullgirls has $672.
Hmm.
ARMS has $1,320.
Surprising for a game that's not out.
Yeah. Windjammers has $1,388.
Surprising for a
game. I'm sure there's a huge publicity push for that from Giant Bomb.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a fun game, but I don't know that that's a really EVO game.
I could say that for a lot of these, but...
Yeah. I think they hoped for a really out there kind of choice, you know, something that would just be weird and interesting to watch, but we're going to get Marvel.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much assured at this point.
Yeah.
On
the upside, all of these donations do go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you pick, it doesn't matter.
Yep, it's all going to a good cause.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really surprised that KI just tanked, though.
Yeah. How long does the voting go on for?
I think another week or so still.
Okay, so there's still some time. We'll see.
They don't want this to run right up until the last minute. They want it to settle fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So everyone knows what games are going to be run there.
Yeah. So.
On the plus side, hey, 7 for 7 on my predictions.
Hey.
Not bad, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Professional prognosticator of pugilism. Alliteration, folks. So with that, I think we got a show this week.
Yeah.
As slow of a week it was, we managed to talk about something. So
we did a thing!
We did a thing, and it was sort of interesting. Yay. All right. So, with that, I'm Filippo D'Onofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
Perkins.
I'm Chris Logie.
And I'm Dan Reb Victoria.
And we'll see you next week.